Good morning. And welcome to the house of the Lord. I have just a couple of announcements. I want to thank Rachel for the newsletter. I thought it was very, very good. It took me a few days before I could read it, Rachel, but one of the things I noticed is that she mentioned was we need people to be liturgists, coffee bar makers, and ushers. So if you're able to do any of those things for this month, July or August, would you please sign up in the office? I also have a couple of things you need to do with your bulletin. During the offertory, we're going to sing. And we're going to sing From Faith We Sing. I hope somebody's got a pen so you can write this down. 21:17, In Faith We Sing. 21:17, In Faith We Sing. And our last hymn has changed to Pass It On, and that's in the hymnal on 572. We'll announce that other one, but Spirit of God and the Faith We Sing, 21:17. I think you've all got, you'll be prepared. Are there any other announcements? Sherry? Where's it going to be?
City of Holland.
Oh.
Yep, so she's very excited and nervous.
Well, good. Thank you. And I'd like to thank people that have been praying for me with vertigo. It's kind of, I mean, I'm not dizzy anymore. You probably think I'm dizzy all the time, but I was really, really dizzy. But I'm doing much better. Now, somebody here, Lori. Wow. Tell them congratulations. Thank you. Everybody, Barb?
Just a joy, Ernie and I being great grandparents.
Oh, yes.
And I thought she was going to have a tiny little thing. Well, it was 8:14.
That, I know I had two babies that age. I didn't think anything. And her grandson was also in the sixth grade, and I was part of his teacher. There was a team of us. Weva? Pray for her sister's D's son. Oh. Well, I'll scan once more to make sure I've got everything. Okay, sweetie pie, you may ring the bell. There's a lot to pray for on this list, too. Lois here today in place of Pastor. If you're able, will you stand for the call to worship? On the day of Pentecost, the disciples gathered together in the upper room. A sound of a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit descended on them. That day, the disciples were changed forever.
When the Holy Spirit touches us, we can never be the same.
God comes to us in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we might be enabled to do God's will in the world.
Change us, O Lord, that we might feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Set our hearts on fire for you, not just today, but every day.
Amen. Let's continue with the opening prayer. Lord, on the day of Pentecost, you sent the Holy Spirit to dwell among your disciples. In the same way, we pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts and minds, not just today, but from now on until Jesus comes again. We ask that you fill us anew, not of ourselves, so that we might be strengthened for the work of the ministry, which you have called us individually and collectively. May your blessing be upon our lives as we commit to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now we'll sing 368 in the hymnal, My Hope is Built on Nothing Else.
Good morning. I'm Lois Bartelt, and for those of you who don't know me, I moved here in 2015 in my retirement. I lived in Illinois on a farm for many years and raised my children there. I went to lay speaker school, I think it was 1988, so my young son at that time had been hospitalized about 20-some times with asthma, and then we had a drought on the farm, and I wasn't working, and things were made me question things, so I went to lay speaker school and decided to try my hand at this. So you'll have to bear with me, though. I don't think I've spoken in church in maybe 6 years. Maybe it'll come back to me. So this morning, the lectionary reading was the Tower of Babel and the Pentecost, and it came to me that in one instance, God took one language and scrambled them in an effort because the people were trying to be unified, which sounds like a good thing, but it turned out that they wanted to have power over God, so he scrambled the language. And as you know, in Pentecost, everybody had different languages, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they could all understand one language. So today I thought I'd speak about languages and how we really need to listen and understand one another. And with that, I ask that we would have a silent prayer, and I will do the morning prayer, and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer. So if you would bow your heads and enter into a time of prayer, I'd appreciate it. Dear Heavenly Father, Creator God, you are our source and our destination. We give you glory and praise. You have provided so many blessings to us that we can't comprehend them. Let us count our blessings with gratitude and praise. As we look around us, we can see beauty in the flowers, shrubs, trees, the lake, the river, and all sorts of natural beauty. Experiencing natural beauty gives us peace and serenity, and it is in this peace that we are assured of your presence and your love. Forgive us for the times we have fallen short of your expectations for us. Forgive us for not listening intently to your instructions and your guidance. Your wishes are clear to us most of the time, but we still fall short of our potential. Guide our nation and our world in these times of great need. So many people in the world live in conditions that are not healthy. People lack basic needs and fail to thrive. Help us as your people to help those in need. Be with our leaders and those who seek to keep this country peaceful. We pray for your direction. Today is Pentecost Sunday. The Holy Spirit came on this day to bring unity to the people, no matter what country they were from or what language they spoke. They could hear the voice of the Lord. Help us today as we seek to find community and unity in a common understanding of your love for us. And let the Spirit of truth surround us today and become a part of us. We ask for your healing prayers for those around us. We know many people suffer physical, mental, and emotional pain. Please give them comfort. And let us offer our prayers for those people who are so desperate for your love and healing. We also celebrate your joys that you have given us and the blessings in our lives. And we thank you for the new internship for Rachel, the joy of a new grandson, Noah Thomas, for the great-grandparents and all those in the family of Barb with a new baby. And we ask that you be with Wava's sister and her son and surround them with your love and comfort. Be with Rick and Sherry and their family and the loss of his mother. And we also ask that you consider the list of the prayers in the bulletin and those silent prayers upon each and every heart here, that you would listen and answer those. Help us to be the best we can be in Christ, and let us share our faith and knowledge with those who may not know you. Guide our words and our actions as we express our concerns, our hopes, our fears, and our beliefs with others. Accept our attempts with great love. In this world of confusing messages and temptations, help us to stay within your care and become disciples of Christ. Come now and allow your presence to surround us and uplift us as we worship you today, and lead us in the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
First scripture reading this morning is from Genesis 11, 1 through 9, on page 8 and 9 in your pew Bible, on pages 8 and 9. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth.
Our second reading today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And you may find that in your pew Bible on page 112 and 113. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues. A fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak to other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each of them heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who speak Galileans? Then how is it each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.' And then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days of God, says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Our young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days, and they will prophesy. I will show you wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It is our tradition to pray for those who need healing, and this is our time of healing prayer. So if you would join me as I say the prayer listed in the bulletin, you may speak a name or names silently or out loud. It doesn't matter if everyone speaks at once. The Lord will hear us and know those people that he needs to visit with his strength and comfort and love. So at this time, shall we pray? Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. And this morning, we pray for Lord, in your mercy, amen. As we hear and give thanks for all the blessings we have received from God, let us give back to God our offerings. And we remember that we have been blessed by God to become a blessing to others. Gracious God, we thank you for all the gifts that you have given, for friends and food and loving care. We give you thanks. We pray now, as we give back to you, that you would bless these gifts and help them to go in the world so that others might know of your love and grace. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we sing the next song, let this be the prayer in which we invite the Holy Spirit to speak as we prepare to hear the Word of God read and proclaimed. The sermon scripture is from John 14, 8 through 17, and I'm going to be reading from the Message. Philip said, "Master, show us the Father, and then we'll be content." "You've been with me all this time, Philip, and you still don't understand. To see me is to see the Father, so how can you ask, 'Where is the Father?' Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I speak to you aren't mere words. I just don't make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see, these works. The person who trusts me will not only do what I am doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do. If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him and doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and he will even be in you. So I have a daughter that's a pastor, and I sent her my sermon, and she divided it into sections and put headings. I normally don't read headings, but I'm going to read them because I think it'll help you to follow what I'm talking about. So this part is the introduction. When I was raising my children, it seemed I could call out their names and no response came. I may have said, "Becky, will you come and set the table?" Once, twice, three times, no answer. Becky was reading and lost in a story. Or I may have yelled out, "Andy, take out the garbage." Once, twice, 10 times, Andy was playing Nintendo. He didn't hear me. So often in life, someone is saying something, and I tune them out, just as my children did to me. In fact, I practice tuning out. During the day at home, I have the television or radio on in my house. I'm usually cooking, cleaning, or doing some sort of project or chore. I'm not always listening. And even in my car, I listen to audiobooks. And if the traffic is heavy or I'm looking for a direction, I totally miss what's being said and I have to backtrack. And I even admit I check my phone when I'm talking to friends and family members and I don't hear them. I say, "What did you say? I really wasn't listening." Research shows that most of us only remember 25 to 50% of what we hear. That means people hear less than half of what we say. On the other hand, it means when we're on the listening side and given instructions or directions, we can only comprehend about half of it. This can be distressing because listening leads us forward in our relationships, our careers, our classes, and even in our identity. One day I was called to substitute teach in Fenville after the school had already begun, and I walked into a middle school classroom to chaos. Students were laughing, talking, running around the desks in classrooms, singing, arguing, dancing, and just being plain disruptive. So I walked in with another teacher who hollered at them to be quiet and respectful to me and listen to me. And then he walked out. I was left with a momentary lull, but immediately chaos began again. So here's a time when I longed for peace, but pandemonium reigned instead. I took out the roster and tried to take attendance, but the names were primarily in Hispanic, and I couldn't pronounce them very accurately. My stumbling around through their names was met with raucous laughter, yelling, and suggestions, pointing at one another with mimicry and all sorts of comments. So I turned and wrote my name on the board, Bartelt, and I called on 3 or 4 students, and they couldn't pronounce my name. So I said, "Did I laugh when you mispronounced my name? Did I point and yell and gesture? No? Well, now when I call on you for attendance, one voice should say, 'Here,' and if necessary, correct me when I say your name." And with that, class proceeded, and we completed attendance. I had their attention, maybe a tiny bit of respect, and maybe now they were listening to me. In John 14, Philip asked Jesus to show them the Father, and they would be confident on their way. Jesus said, "Do you not know me after all this time?" This reminds me of my children when they said to me, "What did you say?" The disciples apparently were not listening either. Jesus told them, "If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you." Think of it. If you love me, show it by doing. Somehow this sounds simple to me, logical, easy. But is it? I recently read a book called Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine. The main character was walking down a city street with a coworker whom she was just becoming acquainted with, and her social interactions were feeble at best. As they were walking, they witnessed an elderly gentleman having a heart attack. Eleanor thought she should pick up her pace and walk on by. maybe somebody else could help. However, her coworker knelt down and began CPR and asked her to call 911. Thus began a relationship with a man who was distressed and also between the two coworkers. I think perhaps some of us would tend to be with Eleanor and walk on by. Others tend to be doers and show their love by getting involved. For Eleanor, it took a nudge of a friend to help her. Jesus says he has sent us a helper and a friend. This is called the Spirit of Truth or the Holy Spirit. This is the gift that we celebrate on Pentecost. We celebrate that God is no longer distant or removed from our lives. Someone felt in the Old Testament that God is no longer distant from our lives, as some felt in the Old Testament, but instead, God now dwells within us and guides our lives and our actions. Don't we long for truth in our lives? So much of what we hear and see around us is not true or real or valid. Fake news is a new term for the idea which has been around for a long time. You can't always trust the voice of the crowds. A person must constantly sift out what they experience against what is being told to them by news media, social media, neighbors, and others. The godless world can't take the truth because they can't see it clearly. But we have friends, helpers, and each other, and that is those who we share our faith with. We are called to support each other, love each other, and care for each other. I know I skipped all the headings after I told you I was going to say them. This part is on the understanding of the truth. In the story of the Pentecost, Peter and the disciples are able to speak in many different languages. But this is not the same as speaking in tongues. This was a way to help everyone in the crowd hear the message in their own language. The different languages enabled the entire crowd to understand. They were listening. They comprehended. When I was studying in my field of education, I learned some of the ways our brains function. We all have receptive language, and we have expressive language. Receiving language is the ability to listen to one another and understand what is being conveyed. Expressive language is the ability to say and articulate our thoughts and ideas, our desires and our needs to others. Both are necessary for quality living. Over the years, I've worked with students who lacked one or the other or both of these qualities. If you can express your thoughts and needs, excuse me, but not receive language, often behavior issues ensue. They don't understand rules. They don't understand discipline or boundaries. Parents and teachers have to try to guide them, but they must be taught how to interpret directives and information given to them. Students who have receptive language but can't express their thoughts also develop social and emotional issues. Frustrations arise when others don't know what they want or need. These students can become reclusive or lash out with unacceptable behaviors and gestures. Language just isn't working for them. They just don't understand. They don't comprehend. As a faithful follower of our God and Creator, a person needs to be both receptive and expressive. Receptive to God's instructions and guidance. Followers need to listen deeply to God who wants to commune with us. We also must listen to each other because sometimes God speaks to us through our community of believers. The followers need to be expressive with their faith and their beliefs. One never really knows who may need to hear your story. God will ensure it is received by those who need to hear it. Forbes magazine ran an article on May 8, 2012, listing the 10 steps to effective listening. It said, in today's high-speed, high-tech world, communication is more important than ever. Yet we seem to devote less and less time to really listening to one another. Genuine listening is a rare gift, the gift of time. It helps build relationships, solve problems, ensure understanding, resolve conflicts, and improve accuracy. Communication also builds friendships and careers. Like-minded folks can help each other to grow and understand God's ways and teachings. But interestingly enough, God sometimes speaks to us through those who are not like-minded. Some folks hold wildly different viewpoints, can demonstrate great love and new concepts simply by sharing experiences that vary from our own. Looking back on life and reflecting may show you that this is true. Can we listen to those who are like-minded? Or can we listen to those who are not like-minded in politics, theology, or wherever our biggest disagreements lie? We don't have to agree with others, but we need to learn to really listen deeply. What is driving their motivation? Remember, God doesn't love all our words or our ideas, or at least God doesn't love the ideas that are outside of God's will, but God does love us. Let us hear others' real hopes and their real fears, and respond not to their words, not to the words they say, but to who the people they are. So I kind of messed that up. Let me say it again. Let us hear others' real hopes and fears and respond not to the words they say, but to the people they are. They are children of God. The people of the Bible were the Medes, the Parthians, the Elamites, and more. And today we have people of ethnicities, various cultures, traditions, and even alternate lifestyles. These people are children of God, and we are called to be an example of Jesus to them. God wants people to have a life of communion with their neighbors and live in community with one another. God also uses expressive language, which allows us to share our thoughts, experiences, and beliefs with others around us. Expressive language is an outlet for our faith. This is not a way to rant and rave on a soapbox, but instead a way to connect with community that seeks direction. We need to receive guidance before we can express our contributions to the world. This is why God sent the Holy Spirit. It is also interesting that God sent the Spirit not to one individual, not just to Peter, but to the whole community. God speaks through the whole body of Christ. I am often quiet and reserved and listen to the conversations around me. This allows me to reflect and compare what others are thinking with my own experience. Language expressed negatively divides us. During the Pentecost, God sought to unite people by pouring out the Spirit of truth into those gathered so that they could understand each other. Connections bring understanding. Speaking in a way that draws us together to allow us to get along. And this last part is called the helper. God has sent us a helper. He says in John 14, the helper will be our guide, our director. The presence of the helper will allow us to use our gifts and talents and the skills we have developed to God's glory. The chaos will dissolve into an orderly process of living faithfully according to God's purpose. In John, Jesus tells us that God is with us and in us. Therefore, we are empowered to do his work. It will happen naturally as an expression of our love for him and his love for us. The words Jesus expressed in John can be received into our hearts. If we believe these words, we can ask anything in his name, and we will get an answer. According to our scripture today and to the beliefs in our hearts, we can express and receive God's answers. The truth may not come to those in the world who do not know God. Believers who have receptive language will receive from God. And those who have receptive language in their hearts will also be able to express God's love and be assured the helper will come as a guide and director. There will be no need to call out, "What did you say? Are you listening?" Because you already know the answer. We pray for a moment. Thank you, dear Father, for being with us in worship. And we ask that we can carry your Spirit out into the world and express it to those who need to hear it. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing Pass It On.
572. Praise God. Join me in the benediction printed in your bulletin. Grant us, O Lord, that which has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts. And that which we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.